Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? Tuesday morning, two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday, two Tuesdays, Tuesday, two. Yeah, one artist, two songs, 773 area code, Michael Jackson's Earth Song to kick off two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 for talk and text and your request for two for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive on this Tuesday morning. A little bit later on, I will be giving the aggravating SNL quiz to Dan and Esmeralda. And we'll see how well or how horribly they do on the SNL quiz. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you watched the Cubs game last night, you know that it had quite a finish, a very insane bottom of the ninth, which, by the way, Vic, I was just in the newsroom saying hi to Vic a couple of minutes ago, and that inning is happening right now. They've repeated it on CSN.
Yep, watching it right now.
So the bottom half of the ninth inning where all hell broke loose, Cubs went into the bottom of the ninth with a 5-0 lead. And the game ended. The Cubs did win, barely, but they won 5-4, and the inning was insane and, you know, nail-biting and heart-attack-inducing. And that's what we're talking about now, sporting events that you've seen or you watched or you went to that had an incredible finish or were really exciting or really made you nervous or made you pace or made you bite your nails, that kind of stuff. 312-981-7200. I'd love to hear from you guys. We've got some. We got a whole bunch of them here from the Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report has this list of the 100 greatest finishes in sports history. We'll go through some of those and some of the more localized ones, the ones that involve Chicago teams. Which ones are your favorites? Which ones were the ones that made you the most excited or the most nuts or the most nervous? 312-981-7200. Dan, I got to say, the first one that pops into my head has got to be Game 7 of last year's World Series.
Absolutely.
Completely insane. Vic, you'd agree with that, the Game 7
That's
of the World Series?
That's got to be up there. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's I would assume that even if you're not a Cub fan, watching that game was incredible. You know, I mean, it was one of the greatest Game 7s in the history of the World Series. And whether or not you're a Cub fan, either way, you even if you're not a fan, you watch that game and you go, I can't believe what's happening. It was absolutely crazy, and we came into work right after Dan. We had a great night. That was a great morning.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was cool because Andy Mazur actually passed out in this room. Because the sports guys were watching it in here on the, because there's a couple of widescreen TVs in this studio, and they were watching it in here, and Andy Mazur fell on the floor during the game. We were at home watching it, but he fell on the floor.
I didn't know that.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he fully admitted he basically passed out.
Perfectly understandable.
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many great moments from that night. I mean, one of my favorite memories is when Vic in his sports report added that the Cubs had the day off.
that just came to me. And I also want to say, I opened my newscast there with the words, they did it. And the Tribune, about an hour later, their front page said, they did it.
So
I'm not saying
they stole it. No, they stole it from
you. But they stole it.
They did. They stole it from you, Vic. Esmeralda, you were here when that happened. Was it, there was excitement in the vicinity?
Well, it was exciting, I think, because I'm not a sports person at all, but to see Andy Mazur,
yeah,
and how excited, and like he's like, I was crying and all, yeah, this is like, oh
yeah.
And just, you know, also just leading up to it, everybody who was like, yeah, no, my grandma got me, yeah, into sports, and like, yeah, so it seemed very emotional for a lot of people.
Oh, it was. I mean, I called my dad like immediately. As soon as that ground out happened, I called my dad and we were like, you know, it's, you know, I mean, the Cub fans, it's a different, we're cut from a different cloth, man. Cub fans who grew up in this city, You know, that was it was a very emotional experience. It was a really, really emotional experience. And the game was just so tense and exciting. And I remember sitting on the couch when the rain delay happened. I was like, what the hell is going on? What is happening? You got to be kidding me. A rain delay now to add to what's going on? And that turned out to be, as we all know now, that turned out to be the blessing in disguise right there. Hayward calling the meeting, and then everything changed after that. They went out, and they ended up winning the World Series. So that's the first one that popped into my mind, because it's the most recent and, of course, you know, the most cherished. But, yeah, game 7 of last year's World Series, way, way up near the top of the list of the most exciting, the most, you know, heart-racing, nail-biting sporting events I've ever seen. And it was, you know, it was just incredible. And what a relief. There was just this sense of relief. When they won that game, there was an overwhelming sense of relief. Like, that's why people were crying. It was just, you know, over 100 years, you know what I mean? And that all was gone. It was all gone in that one ground out. It was just, that's it. This is over now. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And so that would be the first choice that pops into my head. But we got a ton here that if you want to talk about, 312-981-7200. Here's Steve in Galesburg. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I was out in Boise, Idaho with my in-laws, and they're all Mormons. They're all Utah Jazz fans when Michael hit the shot.
Yeah.
I just loved it because I didn't doubt it, but I was nervous.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a lot behind that. By the way, on this list that I have from Bleacher Report of the 100 greatest finishes in sports history, it comes in at number 2 on a list of 100.
No kidding.
Yeah, comes in at number 2, and deservedly so. It was completely insane.
Yeah.
This play is dynamic and a bit depressing. It gave the Cubs their 6th championship in 8 seasons, but it also happens to be the last shot Jordan would take in a Chicago uniform. His shove of Byron Russell into a game-winning jump shot was the last iteration of the unstoppable version of Michael Jordan. After he sank the shot, the Jazz had only one play left to net them a title. The ball would be handed to John Stockton, whose desperation shot fell short, and that would end the best shot the Jazz had ever for a title. So, yep. All right, Steve, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Take care. And, my memory of the Bulls stretch in the 90s is fuzzy because this is really weird. I was a maniac Bulls fan throughout the 80s, you know, when they first got Jordan, all the way up until 91. And then I just kind of, and that's in the 90s is when they were dominant, right? I mean, they were a dynasty. They were amazing. I didn't really care after 91. For some reason, it didn't, I was like, okay, that's cool. And it wasn't when they won the championship in 91. And that them winning the championship in 91 was fantastic. It was amazing. It was when they swept Detroit in 91. That was, to me, much more satisfying than when they won the championship. And winning the championship was fantastic, but to see the Pistons just sulk off of the court, and only John Sally shook hands. Only John Sally. He was the only one. They all sulked off because every damn year the Pistons would knock them out of the playoffs. Every year throughout the 80s and late 80s. Just to see them beat the Pistons 4 games straight, that was amazing to me.
And to your point, there was a really good 30 for 30 about the Detroit Pistons. And they showed Jordan as he was working out. And he was building up strength, and he was trying to build up muscle tones and things like that. And they asked him, and he's like, well, you know, you seem to be working out a lot more this year. And he says, I'm doing it because of the Pistons. And, you know, just he's like, I can't be pushed around by them anymore. You know, I have to, you know, create a better physical specimen in order to endure all the beatings I'm going to take.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to your point, like, he kind of knew, too, that, like, if we're gonna win this, if I'm gonna be a champion, I have to go through them.
Yeah,
literally and physically. So
yeah, there's no question about it. But it was consistently every year, though, Dan. Every year it would be like they'd play the Pistons in the playoffs and they'd lose every single year. And I hated the Pistons. I hated the Pistons so much. But I stopped watching basketball in around the mid-90s. You know, I mean, obviously you can't ignore it. Being in Chicago during that stretch when the Bulls were winning every year. So, I mean, obviously I followed along in the playoffs and stuff. And I have a friend, my friend Beaver, Mike Beyer, who has the nickname of Beaver. He's from Cleveland. So, 2 years in a row, 2 years in a row, Jordan had another one of his, the shots, to knock Cleveland out. And, I remember one night he was over when I was living in the Honeybee Complex, with Oaken, when we weren't watching Mambo Kings. We had like a sports like videotape of like bloopers and stuff, and we were watching it, and there was, I can't remember what the blooper, but there was a blooper on there that had a Chicago team, you know, doing something bad, doing something stupid, and Beaver was laughing. So we ejected the tape and we put in the tape of the shots of the most recent of the Cleveland shot. He's like, no. So all right. That was an interesting World Series for him last year too. He was rooting for the Indians because that's his hometown. But there was no denying that he was happy when the Cubs won.
Yeah.
It's like my future ex-wife and Esmeralda's best friend Dana DiLorenzo.
Right.
She was rooting for both of them. So, all right, we got a break. We'll come back and we've got more greatest finishes in sports history, games that made you nuts, that made you eat your nails and have a heart attack. 312-981-7200, the most exciting, the most suspenseful sports events that you've either seen or went to. Michael Jackson, everybody. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Tuesday, two. One artist, two songs. Get your requests in. 312-981-7200. We're going to get the story here in a second here. I was just scrolling down on my Facebook, and the Chicago Tribune has posted on the Facebook page, shoppers may soon encounter a red furry cyclops at the grocery store.
I just saw that too.
Is this not the greatest thing ever?
How are you not hip to this?
I know. My father works for Jewel. I am a mascot aficionado. Mascots are my favorite thing ever. Evidently, Jewel Osco has a new mascot. His name is JoJo, and he's a red furry cyclops. I think this is fantastic. And I'm telling you, when JoJo comes to visit at my dad's Jewel at Irving and Narragansett, my dad better tell me. Because I have to go. I have to meet JoJo, the one-eyed cyclops. You're looking at the picture, Esmeralda?
I just can't with this. Like, where did they get this idea? And then what are they? Does he have hands?
It does. It looks like he's got like yeah. I don't know.
They look like you know that thing you use. Have you ever seen them to clean your nails out?
Oh, yeah.
It does. Like those metal things.
Also, by the way,
like one of those.
Is he wearing Chucks? I think he's wearing Chucks.
I think it's probably a knockoff Chuck, but it's a Chuck-esque style. Yes.
All right, here's the story. I just got it. Are we ready for this?
And is he wearing leggings, or are those his legs?
Those are really skinny legs. I wish people, if you go to the Tribune, just posted this to, according to my Facebook page, 23 minutes ago, they posted this. This is breaking news. I think Vic needs to lead with this story. Chicago area grocery stores may soon encounter a red furry cyclops in the produce section or near the bakery. It's Jewel Osco's first mascot. Over the last couple of weeks, the supermarket chain has started introducing customers to its newest member, JoJo, who has a name that riffs on the company's initials and is red to reflect the company's logo. JoJo has made appearances at grand reopenings. On Tuesday, the mascot is to attend the opening of a store in Old Town. That's today. We got to go to Old Town today.
We got to go. What time?
Doesn't say. And other events as a way to connect with children and entertain customers as they shop. Spokeswoman said Mary Frances Trucco. Jewel's internal marketing team created JoJo as a gender-neutral mascot with one eye, quote, to illustrate a fun make-believe character rather than an animal or a person. The furry, rotund costume resembles a cross between Benny the Bull and characters from the popular Minions and Monsters, Inc. movies. A mascot can appeal to children, said John Hauptman, senior director of retail for grocery consulting firm Willard Bishop, noting the most valuable store shoppers are families and with young children because they spend most on groceries. JoJo also started a club, providing children with a card that gets them a free piece of fruit to encourage healthy eating and offers a free cookie, too. I want one of those. Why can't I get a card, a JoJo card? I want to be.
I bet you could, you know, if you ask your dad.
I want to be a JoJo club member.
I think your dad could probably get you in.
How did my dad not tell me about this if he knew about it?
Are you sure your dad's not in the costume?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's like Superman. He can't tell anyone.
That's right. Jewel Osco is not the first supermarket chain to enlist a mascot as part of a marketing campaign. For example, Fiesta Mart, based in Texas, has Pepe the Parrot. Well, what about Moo and Oink? You can't forget about Moo and Oink. It's not very common, but also supermarket retailers are trying all types of new things to stand out a little bit from the crowd of all the different stores that sell food. Amazon and Whole Foods could revolutionize grocery delivery, but do shoppers want it? Jewel conducted internal employee focus groups, and JoJo was a hit. Was my dad part of the damn focus group? We love the look, and the overall feedback has been positive. Comments were mixed on Jewel Osco's blog. Oh, no!
Yeah, I sent you a link. I went to the Jewel Osco website, and they have a picture.
Yeah.
Of JoJo, like a real...
Oh, the real costume?
The real thing, yeah. It's kind of frightening.
Okay, hang on. I just clicked on what you sent me. I got to see him. Because I think this is awesome.
His eye is way bigger than in the cartoon version.
That's, Dan, do you see that? Do you see this?
No, I'm looking for it now.
You have to see this, man. The mascot is terrifying looking. Sorry,
what
I also.
What is he wearing?
Is that
like a little chef shirt?
I think it's just a shirt, and it says Jewel Osco, and then on the back it says JoJo. I think it's fantastic.
We should have at least made it a jersey, because who has their name on the back of their shirt?
And it just says JoJo, and it's I don't know if those are his legs or he's got, like you said, leggings or what.
Right.
JoJo looks like something's out of Monsters, Inc.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So,
I wonder if JoJo talks.
No, I doubt it. Mascots are not supposed to talk. They're not supposed to talk. At least that's the rule in sports, I think. Well, somebody wrote, looks like JoJo could use some fruit and veggies. He's huge and scary.
I like the little tuft of hair at the top
of his head. I believe that's the best part. I think that's the best part. All right, that's it. I'm pro JoJo. I'm all about JoJo from this point on. Dan, we got to get JoJo in studio. As brother, you want a picture with JoJo, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
He's the newest member of the Jewel Osco family, JoJo.
What would that? I just want to know, like, concerning your father, what would that make JoJo to you?
That's a good one. That's good. He's a part. My dad is part of the Jewel Osco family, so he's I think JoJo is a cousin. I think JoJo is my cousin. All right. Can we post the link on our Facebook page for JoJo so people can see JoJo? You can see it at the Jewel Osco, at jewelosco.com, JoJo's Club. If you just, I guess you search that'll take you right to JoJo's Club, and you'll get to see the picture of the actual.
Yeah, his hands are frightening in the drawing because they don't look like they move.
Yeah.
Like, they don't look like they're fingers.
Yeah. I think he's doing the queen wave.
Right. With both hands.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt the talk of sports and exciting sports games. But when I see a thing called JoJo, a one-eyed Cyclops is now the mascot for Jewel Osco, stop the presses. All right. We got a break here. The news is coming up. The news is coming up next.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. One artist, two songs. Jennifer in Rockford picked the Oak Ridge Boys, Elvira. Jennifer's celebrating what? Her birthday? Oh, her birthday is later this week. So she wanted to hear some Oak Ridge Boys with Elvira. Yeah. All right. By the way, you can meet JoJo on our Facebook page if you would like to. We have a link where you can actually see the real JoJo. If you go to facebook.com/NickDShow. JoJo is the new furry red cyclops mascot for Jewel Osco, and I love him. That's it. All right. So we're talking about sporting events that were incredible in terms of finishes, that were exciting, that gave you a heart attack, that made you bite your nails. We're doing this because last night's Cub game was a bit like that. It was a real heart attack inducer. Cubs were up 5-0 going into the bottom of the ninth, almost blew it. They did win 5-4, but it wasn't easy, and it was really tense and really insane. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. We were talking about the game 7 of the World Series and 98 NBA Finals. So it was one of the greatest finishes of all time. And Dan, did you have any that popped into your head immediately?
Well, I'll go. I'll get to mine in a second. But just kind of to your point, this has been an extraordinary year for comeback finals.
Mm.
So not only did you have the Cubs, which obviously both I think personally and professionally is the top one of all these, but
Super Bowl though,
with a Super Bowl featured the big comeback.
Yeah,
the college football championship featured Clemson beating Alabama on the last play year after they had lost to Alabama the year prior.
Yeah.
And then not only was your friend Beaver happy for the Cubs, he was consoled by the fact that the Land finally got their first championship when the Cavs came back from 3-0 against the team that had set the new regular season record by going 73-9 during the regular season. So
no, that's huge. That really, that was huge.
Yeah. So, but that all happened in a 16-month stretch, which
right.
is extraordinary to think that basically every major championship game.
And you remember on Super Bowl night, I went to bed,
right? You went to bed.
I went to bed. I took a nap and I got up and I'm like, it was the greatest comeback in the history of football. And I was like, oh man.
Yeah. I mean, that was just insane. So personally, my favorite, it was just a Cubs game. It didn't really have any impact on it. But I was a freshman at St. Pat's, and we had a walkathon.
Mm-hmm.
You raise funds, you know, you raise X amount of dollars. We walked from Belmont and Austin to Wrigley Field, get to go to the game and get a T-shirt. And, you know, we did that every year. I know other high schools in the areas did it.
Yeah.
But my freshman year, we went and it was an extra inning game. There's 1,000 St. Pat's students. You know, that's how big the school is. So by the time the ninth inning run around, there was maybe about 30 of us left in the park, right? But obviously you could identify us because we were all wearing matching Coca-Cola shirts. and so it just turned into like a Little League game, and like we were chanting and going nuts and having a blast and you know, really had a fun time. The Cubs did come back winning. I forget who scored the run, but it was a play at the plate. He slid in, and the guy actually stood up and pointed to us.
Oh!
And so that was pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. That's really cool. Did you guys get acknowledged on the scoreboard?
I'm sure we did.
Yeah.
Like that in between the fifth and the fourth, you know, welcome St. Pat's
right.
High School.
I wonder if Harry acknowledged you guys on the TV side.
Like, that would have been something.
Hey, Steve, we got a group here from St. Patrick. St. Patrick. It's a high school.
One of the highlights of my career was when I was an intern here, and they brought us up to the booth for the producer's Skybox Day.
Yeah.
And so Mazur gave Pat the list of the names of everybody, and he goes, you know, da-da-da, da-da-da, and Dan Shagrew. And Sano goes, Shagrew, that's a fine name. And they just moved on.
That's awesome. Yeah. How did I not know that, that story?
Yeah, I mean, I think I still have the tape somewhere.
Well, yeah, it was always great to get up to the booth to hang out with Ron and Pat. That was fantastic fun to do that. The Harry Carey stuff. You guys know my favorite Harry Carey moment, right? Esmeralda, do you know my favorite Harry Carey moment?
What's that?
Hey, Steve. So Steve Stone was in the booth with him. Steve goes, and Steve is like, "Yes, Harry." And he's like, "You know, we've got a group here from Kent State. Hey, you went to Kent State, didn't you, Steve?" And Steve goes, "That's right, Harry, I did." And then Harry goes, "And they didn't shoot you?" What are you saying? And Steve just went, Harry, no, they didn't shoot me. That's my favorite. We had it. One of my friends years ago was getting married, and I was the best man. And we were planning the bachelor party, so we were going to start it off. You remember the days, Dan? You'll probably remember this when they had the businessmen specials on Friday, and it was a 2:20 start instead of a 1:20 start.
Right.
We went to every one of those games. My friends and I. This was in the early 90s. We went to every Friday we'd go to the 2:20 game. So that was the businessman start. And so the weekend of my buddy's bachelor party, we were starting off at a 2:20 game, and then we were going to Beetlefest, and we were going to have the bachelor party at Beetlefest that weekend, the whole weekend. So our whole weekend started off at a businessman special. And so I got word to Roy, and Roy got word to the booth to mention my friend's name and that we were having a bachelor party in the Right Field bleachers. So, we videotaped. We had, you know, we were videotaping the game so that we can go back after the weekend and then watch it and hear Harry. So my friend's last name is Korostecki, and it's spelled Chorostecki. Now, Harry had problems saying the name Bob. Like, he would have issues. Like, he couldn't – I mean, he just mispronounced everything and was drunk. And, you know, so the reason – one of the main reasons why I made sure that, you know, that Roy got the word to the booth and to Harry was because we wanted to hear how he was going to destroy John's name, my friend's name. We was going to say, Chirgastuki. Or something. He was just going to say, you know. So the weekend goes by, and then we're over at John's house, and we pop the videotape in, and we watch the game. Cubs, of course, lost that game. We watch the game, and it's like, and all of a sudden, Harry goes, "Hey, Steve, you know, there's a group here, and there's a gentleman who's getting married. His name is John Korostecki." And I was like, "What?" We were all like, "What?" He nailed it. He got the name right. He said John Korostecki. He got it right. And we were like stunned. But then he goes, "Yeah, he's having a bachelor party in the Right Field bleachers." So he got Korostecki right, but he got bachelor wrong. He's having a bachelor party. Oh. Oh boy. Good old Harry. All right. We're talking about sports here. Exciting games, great finishes, classic stuff that makes you bite your nails off. We got a whole bunch more here, some real classics here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Yeah.
I'll take her riding on a Friday.
Jennifer and Rockford, Oak Ridge Boys, Bobby Sue. Did all their songs, were they named after women's names? Is that the entire Oak Ridge Boy collection, all songs named after women? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? Live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Coming up after the 4:30 news, the aggravating SNL quiz game, where I get aggravated as I give trivia questions about SNL to Esmeralda and Dan, and they get them wrong. So, last night's Cub game was a nail-biter. That's what we're talking about. Greatest finishes in sports, real nail-biters, giving you a heart attack, that kind of stuff. 312-981-7200. I want to mention one more, and then we can go to some texts that we've got and to this list that we've got. It involves my favorite Hawk, who we were talking about a little bit earlier. It involves Marian Hossa, and it was Game 5 of the playoffs in 2010 against Nashville. Hawks, Nashville, Game 5, 2010. Insane. Absolutely insane. Kaner ties it up at the end of the third period. It's tied, but Hossa is labeled with a 5-minute major penalty. So it goes into overtime. So first of all, that happens at the end of the period. At the end of the third period, Kaner ties it up. Hossa gets the major. That's 5 minutes in the booth or in the box. So then there's an intermission because it's a playoff game. There's a full intermission, and you know during the playoffs, you get a full intermission and then a full period. So this is at the end of the third period, and now I'm sitting, my ex-wife and I are sitting in the living room watching this, and like, so what has to happen now is they come back in the overtime period, and Hossa's got to serve his 5-minute penalty, and they've got to basically they have to hold off Nashville for 5 minutes, and because if obviously it's overtime, so it's, you know. If they score, it's over. So they're shorthanded for 5 minutes. The Hawks are shorthanded for 5 minutes. And it was the longest 5 minutes of my life. Heather and I were like pacing around the apartment. I was standing. I was like biting my nails. I couldn't sit down. It was insane. It was like the longest 5 minutes ever. And I said, I jokingly said to Heather, I said, don't worry about it. This was about 2 minutes into the PK. I was like, don't worry about it. I said to Heather, I said, don't worry about it. Here's what's going to happen. They'll kill the penalty off. Hossa will get out of the box. He'll score a goal. We'll win the game. I swear to you, I said that. And Dan, what happened?
Hossa got out of the box, scored the goal.
They killed the penalty. Hossa gets out of the box, scores the game-winning goal. One of the greatest moments in Hawks history. And one of my favorite games ever, ever in the history of the Blackhawks. Absolutely stunning. That's one of my favorites as well.
That moment was so significant. The NHL actually included it in a later ad campaign. Like, I forget whatever the gist of it was like, what if dot, 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 and, you know, Gretzky doesn't get traded or, you know, one of those things. And then, you know, one of them was what if the Hawks didn't kill the major?
It's insane. Then, yeah. It was absolutely nuts. It was really absolutely nuts. One of my favorite moments in Hawks history, without question. We went nuts. Heather and I went nuts during that when they won that game. Completely insane. So there's another Hawks one that actually made the list here. The NHL regular season, the Hawks comeback versus Calgary. Now, Dan, I got to tell you, this was early in the season. It was early in the season. And I have to tell you, I was watching the game. It's a ridiculous story. Not different than, say, the Super Bowl comeback that I missed. So we're at why am I blanking on the name? It's the bar next to across the alley from Metro Gingerman. Okay, so we're at the Gingerman. Okay, it's my friend Matt, myself, a couple of other guys, Nick Miller from Jam, my buddy Nick Miller from Jam. And we're watching the game, you know, and Calgary scores 5 goals. So we're like, And we go next door because we were going to see Bob Mould. So we go in, we go next door, we go to see Bob Mould. And suddenly, during Bob Mould's show, my phone starts to vibrate like every 5 seconds. And I'm getting texts from people saying, are you watching this? Are you watching this? This is unbelievable. This is the most unbelievable game I've ever seen. Oh, my God, what a comeback. So at one point when I kept getting these texts, I ran to one of the bars in the Metro because we were in the Metro. We were up in the balcony in the reserve section because I knew Nick Miller from Jam. So we were up there. I also knew the bass player who was playing with Bob Mould, Jason Nardesi. I know him too. So it was a good night. But anyway, I was trying to find out if they had a TV somewhere in the Metro. And no, we couldn't find one. So we missed the whole damn thing. And then we saw the highlights at the Gingerman afterwards. But this is what happened. Calgary was all over the Chicago Blackhawks in a regular season game back in 2009. The Flames scored 5 goals in the first period. At that point, any team would see an insurmountable task and fold, but the Blackhawks had other ideas. They would score 5 straight goals to tie the game in the third. That led to a third period that felt more like a playoff game. Calgary was desperate to get the lead back. Chicago was playing with a renewed sense of purpose. The game ended when Brett Seabrook hit one with 26 seconds into overtime. Missed it all. Missed it all. I'm like the biggest Hawks fan on the planet, but I was watching Bob Mould and I got to hang out with him afterwards. So it was a good pay, you know. That's fine. Good trade off. So, all right. Yeah, there's another Hawks one is on this list as well it should be. We can give you the details in a couple of seconds, but it didn't make the list. 773 area code contributes to 2013 Blackhawks game 6 Stanley Cup final. All I have to say is 17 seconds. That's all I, and everybody remembers that. 17 seconds. I was at the main stage in Evanston, right? That's the name of the place, right?
Yeah, that's where you were.
Because I was doing a spelling bee. I was hosting a spelling bee. But I saw it, though. I saw it. Anyway. So that was pretty memorable. 17 seconds. 2013 Hawks. All right. I got a lot more here on texts. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We have to break here. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Mary, I wanted to hear some extreme. That's wholehearted. Mary also wanted to say thanks. She's a longtime listener and loves my show. Thank you, Mary. Yeah. So you guys remember Extreme's big hit, right? You gotta remember Extreme's big hit, Esmeralda, right?
If you don't, we'll be hearing it about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. It's called More Than Words. And the video is just the two guys. It's in black and white. And at one point, the other band members who are just kind of sitting on the side, because it's a ballad, one of the guys pulls out a lighter. Remember that part, Dan? Pulls out the lighter, lights up the...
It's very moving.
It was really funny as I went to go see Extreme because I was kind of dating this girl who was the sister of a girl who was dating one of the guys who I knew who ran the Riviera Theater. Because at one point, the guy who was running Ginger's Ale House also was a partner with the Riv, so we could get in to see any show we wanted. And I was kind of dating his girlfriend's sister, kind of, because she was like seeing somebody else, but we started kind of dating. And so he's like, let's all go see Extreme. And I was like, I don't, you know, because I didn't want to see Extreme. But, like, this girl's sister that I was kind of dating wanted to go because she loved that song. She loved More Than Words. not familiar with the rest of Extreme's discography, because that song is also not very indicative. Wholehearted, that last song is not very indicative of what Extreme really does, because the name of the band is Extreme. I don't know if people realize that. And this More Than Words song, which was this power ballad that was a huge, huge hit, was really, really not indicative of what they did.
Oh, like Sugar Ray?
What do you mean?
That Fly song, if you see their album before that, was completely different.
Yeah.
And then they, I guess, decided to just be like that Fly song.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with Sugar Ray at all outside of the...
It was all like hard rock.
I like one song by Sugar Ray. It's that damn where they're on the... When It's Over.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah, that was after... No, but before that, if you listen, it's all like kind of...
Punky?
Hard.
Well, that's the thing about it. Now, are you familiar with Extreme, Esmeralda, at all? Outside of more...
Not outside that song.
It's just... It's all very aggressive and very loud and very metal-like. And the girl that I was kind of dating, you know, like about four songs in, was like, what the hell is this? And I'm like, I told you. This is
the right Extreme?
Yeah. I mean, what do you say? So they, and of course, they didn't play More Than Words till like, you know, three quarters of the way through the show. And we left after that. Like, we, after More Than Words, like, we left. I said, we sat through this for like an hour and a half. This noise for like an hour and a half, although Betancourt's a good guitarist. I don't want anybody to start texting in about how Betancourt's a great guitarist and I need to shut up. Yes, he's a good guitarist. I just don't like their music. Anyway, so we leave, and I'm like, we could have left. We could have not gone to this and just turned the radio on, and we could have heard the damn song. Because inevitably, after 15 minutes, it's going to be played on an FM station.
Did they do a whole thing where, like, he sat on a stool?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They made a real big deal out of it.
Everyone else left.
No. It wasn't really like, but that the lights were turned down. Right. And, you know, and in fact, they did recreate the lighter. Like, the other guy in the band, he lit, and he put the lighter on. And everybody put lighters on in the audience.
Were the other guys just sitting around in the video?
Yeah.
So did they do that? They kind of...
No. They were actually at their instruments. But it's just if you hear the song, Esmeralda, you'll recognize the song.
What?
The More Than Words.
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh, you know the song.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
More Than Words. That's it, though.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
As
yeah.
far as it goes.
Forever let me go. That's an. So that was fun seeing Extreme. The girl I was with was like, "What is going on?" You know, it was the worst, though. I'll tell you the worst. I went to go see the Goo Goo Dolls. Here's why. Let me explain myself before, because that's a sentence that shouldn't come out of my mouth, that I paid to see the Goo Goo Dolls. But Buffalo Tom opened, so that's why we went. But we left after four songs. It was the worst. And he started to play it, I actually like the song Iris. I really do. I like that song. From the movie City of Angels. By the way, Esmeralda, what was the original movie that it was based on? We had that little question for you. Do you remember? Do you remember the title?
No.
Wings of Desire.
All right.
So anyway, they did that. What was their first ballad that they had?
Name,
right? I don't know your name. Diddle, 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 down, down. Okay. So during that one, Esmeralda, they did like bring the lights down and he came out and everybody sat down. You know, the band sat down. Because the Goo Goo Dolls, let me explain something to you. We sat through, I think, four songs before we left, because Buffalo Tom opened. And a bunch of us from Vinyl Shop went. A bunch of us from the production of Vinyl Shop went. So we go, and again, I had connections, so we were up in the box. And so Buffalo Tom plays, and they have a killer set. They have a killer set. All they did was walk out on stage and go, "Hi, we're Buffalo Tom. We're from Boston." And they just ripped into their set, did a fantastic. It was great. Goo Goo Dolls, the lights go down. There's like 8,000 tons of smoke and fog machines all over the stage. And the stage was covered in plastic, not unlike Laura Palmer. It was covered in plastic. And this was at the request of the bass player, who likes the feel of plastic under his bare feet because he plays bass barefooted. So he requests that every gig they have to cover the stage in plastic.
Like a tarp?
No, like clear, like a couch. Like you're trying to protect the couch from spaghetti sauce. That the 70s plastic that you would put on a couch was covering the stage. So there's lights flying all over the place, and there's smoke, there's lasers, all like the play covered in plastic. And this is after three guys on stage, Buffalo Tom, they come out, hi, we're Buffalo Tom, they kick ass, they leave. Now we've got lasers and smoke and plastic, there's stuff, big long intro, and the lights bust up, song kicks in, and they run out on stage. Not the drummer, the drummer's behind his kit. But they run on stage, like sprint, like run on stage. And then and we watched in the first song, I was like, okay, here, what's the deal? Do they have a book backstage called Rock Cliches? And they're just checking off each one.
What was the first song?
I don't remember. I don't know the Goo Goo Dolls. We left.
Slide.
It was probably,
right, yeah.
Was it Slide? I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't remember. I don't remember. I just remember I was like, what the hell is
that
happening?
That was the up-tempo hit at the time.
Yeah.
That would be a good
Would they open with that, though?
I think they would.
Okay. I don't remember.
Because they do have a deep catalog.
Well, they also were a band that changed. Goo Goo Dolls were a lot heavier.
Right.
I remember they were on the Nightmare on Elm Street soundtrack, and they were metal. And then now they're doing, you know, Iris, which I think is a good song.
By the way,
yeah,
they'll be here next month.
Oh no,
in Northerly Island. If you want to go,
well,
Jim Ryan's covering
the plastic.
Jim Ryan's going to cover it.
I believe so.
Okay, all right. Well, listen. Report on Barefoot Johnson there and his plastic,
Robbie.
I really want to know. Yeah, he's not even like. Well, none of them are really good looking.
You don't like what's his lips, the lead singer?
Ugh, that hair. I just don't get it.
All right.
And he looks like he's like his face kind of melted. It looks real plasticky.
What's his name?
Johnny Resnick.
Yeah. Johnny Resnick.
It looks like it's made of wax and it kind of just melted a little bit.
I think he had some work done and it didn't go well.
But he makes this speech when they're playing Name, okay? He does the riff and people start cheering. And then he's like, you know, I get a lot of crap for this song. And then he plays the riff again. You know, I get a lot of crap, man. They say we sold out with this song, man. This is a beautiful song, man. I will say this, though. I was walking through a grocery store one day, and I heard this. And he plays the riff again. People are cheering. He's like, I don't care, man. I don't care. I walk on an elevator, and if I hear this, diddle, 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 down, down, I smile, man.
Because he gets paid, I'm
like,
sure.
Shut up and have your bass player put some damn shoes on. What the hell am I watching? It took him 15 minutes to start the damn song. He's, like, giving speeches. He's playing the riff over and over again. And I looked at my friends. I'm like, can we leave? Is it possible for us to just leave? Everybody was like, yeah, let's get the hell out of here.
You didn't want to hear Iris?
No, we left. I couldn't sit through it. Honest to God, it was like watching Spinal Tap. It was really like that. It was like every bad rock cliche was on display just in the first four songs. And I was like, I can't do this. I mean, I came to see Buffalo Tom. That's the reason why I went. Good Lord. What, were we talking about sports? I have some texts. I will get to them, I promise. You guys were kind enough to send some texts, so I will read your texts in the next segment. I promise you. But we are going to hear that Extreme song, so I might go off on another tangent. Because More Than Words is coming up. All right. So, picture you're a girl in your 20s, and you're like, oh, I love that song. Let's go see those guys live. And then the rest of it is, like, louder than Satan.
Now, I don't like Jimmy Fallon, but remember when he did they recreated the video?
Yeah, he does that a lot. He does a lot of that.
I don't like him, but that More Than Words.
Yeah. Mary, by the way, a longtime listener. Thank you, Mary. She wanted to hear some Extreme. Yeah! 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. Coming up after 4:30, we're going to do the aggravating SNL quiz, where I quiz Esmeralda and Dan about SNL. They get the answers wrong, and I get aggravated. So
We should get a prize. Like, how angry can we get you? How angry we can... Like, a little out. Thermometer, just like, ding, 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 ding.
And then smoke comes out of my ears or something. That kind of thing.
He turns as red as JoJo.
Oh, yeah. Now we know how you're related.
JoJo. By the way, for those of you who are just waking up, Jewel Osco now has a one-eyed, cyclops, a red-furred cyclops for a mascot. His name is JoJo. He'll be in the Old Town Jewel Osco today. And I hope he comes to the Irving and Narragansett, Jewel, very soon.
You just ask your dad.
Then I will
put in a good word.
I will meet JoJo. I want to meet JoJo. I love JoJo.
And I'm sure JoJo loves you.
Yes, he does. All right. Peter in Decatur said, my nephew brought... We were talking about sporting events that were very exciting, that were nail-biting and heart attack-inducing. So Peter says, my nephew brought to my attention a last-minute play in football between Cal and Stanford, famously called The Play. There are even shirts on which the play is diagrammed. And it's on that list we had. The Cardinal took a 2019 lead after a late field goal with 4 seconds on the clock. Stanford would kick off to the Bears and needed only one tackle to claim the season's biggest rivalry. The only problem is that they never took down a Cal player. Instead, the ball was lateraled all over the field. The Stanford ball believing the game to be over. The Stanford band believing the game to be over rushed the field. That's legendary footage right there. I mean, we've all seen that. The band comes out on the field. 765 area code says 2007 AFC Championship game, Colts versus Patriots. What happened there, Dan?
Patriots came back and beat the Colts after the Colts had pretty much dominated for a good chunk of the game.
Okay. 2007, who was quarterback then?
That was Peyton Manning.
That was Manning.
Tom,
right?
Brady.
Versus Tom Brady. Manning. Oh, yeah, sure. That's big. Southpaw says, I saw the Cubs top of the ninth last night. And I'm so glad I missed the bottom half. Yeah. But definitely Game 7 of the World Series, it was insane. Jay in Ohio says the 85 Bears versus a Viking football game. Jim McMahon came off the bench in the third quarter. Bears were down 17-9. McMahon's first two passes were for touchdowns. Bears win 33-24. Pretty big game, obviously, that year. I remember watching the Miami game, the only game they lost that year, and I went because they brought McMahon off the bench during that game, too. And I thought, well, the same thing's going to happen. They're going to win. They didn't. Who likes the Dolphins? Does anybody like the Dolphins?
Nobody likes those Dolphins.
Come on. 219 says, a great finish that no one got to see was NBC deciding to play Heidi when the Raiders came back and beat the New York Jets. That's right. You know this story, Esmeralda?
No.
The game went long, and so NBC, whatever idiot who was in charge of NBC, decided that they had to show their family Sunday movie, and it was Heidi. So they showed the movie. Meanwhile, the Raiders came back and beat the Jets. And people were losing their mind. Heidi? We're watching Heidi? 847 area code says, Schurz beat Lane in football for the first time ever in 1980. The final score was 8-0. My dad was the head coach. It was a great day. That's the Addison Street rivalry right there. Lane and Schurz. Oh, no, I think Schurz's address is actually on Milwaukee. And is, well, then that would, is Lane, is their address Addison or Western?
That's a good question.
Don't know. 630 area code, games 5 and 6 against the Flyers. Game 6, overtime goal by Kane. He was the only one who knew it in the stadium. Yeah, I remember watching it when they won against the Flyers in 2010. I was at Simon's. One person in the bar reacted. Everybody else was like, did it go in? What happened?
Lane text on Addison.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
Real quick, I know we're running out of time, but we should also mention one of the greatest finishes that involved WGN radio, and that was when Northwestern beat Michigan this past season with the full Corpus and our own Dave Innett.
Dave Innett with the call.
1.7 to go in a tie game. I guess he can't run it. Taphorn heaves it down the floor.
Got it.
Pardon the catch. Puts it up.
Yes!
Wildcats win!
Wildcats win! Derek Parton at the buzzer for the win! And the Wildcats have beaten Michigan 67-65.
Are we going to get trampled?
They're all in a pile right in front of us. Unbelievable.
All right, Dave Ennett, everybody. Dave Ennett. It's a great way to end that segment. All right, we'll take a break. News is coming up next.